From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Tax cuts, health care, Iraq. In the second presidential debate, Senators Barack Obama and John McCain faced a town hall audience and tried to get their jabs in without seeming mean.
Senator Obama's secret that you don't know is that his tax increases will increase taxes on 50% of small business revenue.
He says that he's going to give you a $5,000 tax credit. What he doesn't tell you is that he is going to tax your employer-based health care benefits for the first time ever. So what one hand giveth, the other hand taketh away.
With a big picture for us, we've got Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and Ron Christie, a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. He's also the president and founder of Christie Strategies. Hi, folks.
Nice to be with you both.
Hello, Farai.
So, what was the moment that crystallized how well, let's say, Senator Obama was performing for you? And by that, I mean, pick out something you like about what Senator Obama said. Ron.
Well, I think Senator Obama did not go on the attack like many people had expected him to last night. David Axelrod, his campaign manager, said that he was bracing for a very negative fight, and we didn't see that. And I think that there was some unity between the two candidates as it related to finding a way to deal with a financial crisis that's not only gripping the United States, but also impacting markets in Asia and Europe and around the world. So from that standpoint, I think that that was something good that Senator Obama had to say. But other than that, as it relates to his policies, Farai and Mary, you know I'm really not going to agree with him on much.
All right, Mary, I'm going to ask you to reach across the aisle and say something good about what McCain's approach was or what he communicated.
Well, I guess the best moment for McCain was when he embraced the idea of having the federal government buy up the mortgages of homeowners who have been foreclosed and then to give them new terms, and embracing that idea, which is very popular with the broader public, according to opinion polls, and who don't like the idea of bailouts for Wall Street, but do like something for local people. That was his best moment in the entire debate. But beyond that, he had a lot of very bad moments indeed.
Okay. Both of you are holding back just a little. I want to get into some of the moments that made the night. There was one that came right at the top. There were, you know, I'd gotten a YouTube video sent to me from someone, and then an hour later, basically people were hearing about this all across the country. What I'm talking about is during a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings tore into AIG executives for spending over $400,000 on a spa retreat after the bailout. Let's listen.
AIG spent, listen to this one, $23,000 at the hotel spa and another $1,400 at the salon. They were getting their manicures, their facials, their pedicures, and their massages, while American people were footing the bill.
Senator Obama took that on in the debate.
And in fact, we just found out that AIG, a company that got a bailout, just a week after they got help, went on a $400,000 junket. And I tell you what, the Treasury should demand that money back, and those executives should be fired.
Ron, this is a red meat populist attack. Do you think that it resonates with swing voters?
Well, I do think it resonates with swing voters. I think conservatives and liberals alike are a little bit perplexed by the size of the bailout. And it seems preposterous to me that in the midst of negotiating with the United States government, not only with AIG, but Goldman Sachs and others, that these people could run up such a tab and then still have their hand out to the federal government for assistance. I do think this warrants a closer look by the Treasury Department in an investigation, but it was a good moment for Obama to play on the populist theme that he's been expressing. And sadly, the economic malaise that seems to grip this country is to his political benefit. I only wish that both candidates could put partisan politics aside and find a meaningful solution, one that will work for the American people, rather than using the financial crisis as one where they can play to their respective bases for votes.
Mary, there was a lot of discussion about health care and different perspectives these two men have on how health care should be delivered or whether it is even a right or a responsibility. What did you hear in that debate that's useful for the American people to understand?
Well, I think they both did what you would expect, is they exaggerated the difficulty of the other guy's plan. and then lauded how great theirs was. But if you really have a choice here, and if you believe that there ought to be eventually a government-sponsored health insurance for most people, then the Obama plan would get you somewhere along the way toward that. It's not a universal health care in the way that was talked about during the primaries. But it would start up with money being given. Employers either have to provide it for you or they have to pay into a pool so that you can have insurance, and that parents have to provide insurance for their kids, otherwise there's a penalty. So it would be sort of like a Medicare solution to the problem. And if you think that that's the way we ought to go with a government plan, you got it. If you think you ought to go with a private sector plan, and it's hard to say anything good about the private sector nowadays, even though most people work for it, given all the financial problems, then McCain gets you part of the way there because he'll give a tax credit and you can go out and buy whatever kind of insurance you want. And he even wants you to be able to buy it across state lines, go to some other state and buy it and get it as cheaply as possible, and that you think there will be competition and that you think you might get better health care and be less costly to the government. So there is a clear difference between the two plans, and each person can take their choice.
I want to move on to foreign policy. Let's listen to an exchange that the candidates had about that.
Teddy Roosevelt used to say, walk softly, talk softly, but carry a big stick. Senator Obama likes to talk loudly. In fact, he said he wants to announce that he's going to attack Pakistan.
Senator McCain, this is the guy who sang Bomb, Bomb, Bomb Iran, who called for the annihilation of North Korea. That I don't think is an example of speaking softly.
Ron, what does this say about the two candidates' approaches?
Well, I think what we heard last night, I still think this is the greatest area of vulnerability for Senator Obama, is his seeming lack of experience as it relates to foreign policy. It is true that Senator Obama said that if, in fact, there was a reason to make an incursion into Pakistan, that Senator Obama would support that. Notwithstanding the fact that Pakistan is a nuclear power, notwithstanding the fact that Pakistan has been a loyal ally in the war on terrorism, I think that was an irresponsible comment. And I think Senator McCain was effective when he also went after Senator Obama as it related to his understanding of the surge. For many, many, many months, Senator Obama was unwilling or unable to say that the surge had worked in Iraq and that it had turned around our fortunes in Iraq. And instead, Senator Obama kept talking about Afghanistan and losing the ball and losing sight in Afghanistan. He's not in the military. He's not in a position to review classified information pertaining to intelligence. If only Senator McCain had hammered away consistently at those areas of vulnerability, I think McCain could have moved the needle. But he allowed Senator Obama to get by, and Senator Obama is very, very adept on his feet and was able to dance past it.
Mary, let me put this in the context of negative campaigning. There's a whole variety of attacks that are going on between campaigns, between supporters, in attack ads. One of them has to do with terrorism, which certainly is an aspect of how you understand someone's foreign policy. During a campaign speech in New Mexico, John McCain asked the crowd, who is the real Barack Obama? An audience member shouted out, a terrorist, and McCain did not challenge what the man said. Do you think it was an obligation on him to challenge that if he heard it and if, you know, he didn't believe it?
Well, I would prefer it if all candidates would challenge things like that when they're said. We had during the primary season people getting up in the audience and calling people names and saying things about Clinton and others, and no one said anything. We've had people getting up in the audience when Sarah Palin is speaking and saying negative things about Obama in ways that they shouldn't have been saying them, in my opinion, because they sounded like threats. And the candidate doesn't say anything. I think that it would be nice if the candidate would, but candidates don't. And the reason why they don't is because it's a perpetuation of their negative advertisement. If they lead people to believe certain things, then they get a response. It's like a call and response. The person got up and said something which echoed what they were saying, and therefore they can ignore it and either pretend like they didn't hear it.
Ron, let me ask you about some of the the negative attacks around Senator Obama have been centered around recently William Ayers, who helped organize the Weather Underground, and it was blamed for several domestic bombings. He's now a professor in Chicago, Ayers is. And Obama had encounters with him during the beginning of his political career, but they have been made much of by Sarah Palin, Governor Sarah Palin. Is that fair?
I think it is. I think when you're looking at the individual who'll be the next president of the United States, it goes to their character and their question. You certainly didn't hear a lot of the Democrats criticizing the Washington Post and other outlets when they had a story that alleged that Senator McCain had had an affair with a lobbyist, and a story that was proven to be false. Here you have an association with William Ayers, a member of the Weather Underground, a American terrorist, a group that was responsible for bombing the Capitol, bombing a wide variety of targets around the United States. And William Ayers only got off on a technicality because there was evidence that had been illegally obtained. But he was unrepentant. On September 11th, 2001, Mr. Ayers said that he had wished that he had gone further and that there were associations going back with Senator Obama. Senator Obama even wrote the foreword to a book that Mr. Ayers put out. Senator Obama's coming out political party when he ran for the state legislature was at Mr. Ayers' house. So I think legitimate questions to raise as it relates to
Mary, Ayers. Mary, we've got a nanosecond here, but please do weigh in.
I would just say that I think what the Obama campaign should do is they should just say, yes, we knew him then, and yes, we know him, and that's what he used to do, and it has nothing to do with me and what I do, and the guy has a lot of credible things about him, and move on rather than trying to deny it, because there's nothing wrong with knowing a guy who used to do something who isn't doing something now, and it's better than just letting the thing be perpetuated out there.
All right, guys, thanks so much.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you, Farai.
That was Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania, and she joined us from the studios of the University of Pennsylvania. We also had Ron Christie, former special assistant to President George W. Bush and president and founder of Christie Strategies. He joined us from HQ in Washington, D.C.